If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Revelation. Revelations chapter 5, first verse this morning. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, even as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." That is the Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, if correctly read. Father, we thank you now for the word of God. How wonderful it is to be saved. How wonderful it is to serve Jesus. I wouldn't have it any other way. Lord, I pray now, you'd help us. We've read your word. Would you fill us with your spirit? Lord, come present amongst us and help us today that we might worship he that is worthy. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to lift these verses in context, but I want to preach on this thought as we conclude. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. First of all, this morning, I want us to see the miraculous setting. The church age has come to a close. The Lord Jesus has come as he promised. The trumpet is sounded. The church has been raptured home. The dead in Christ first, then we which are alive and remain have been caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And Revelations 4 gives us that miraculous setting and turns to Revelation 5. And second of all, we see a mysterious scroll. The Bible says in the first verse that John saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. The word for book is the word biblion, which means a scroll. I wish I had one today. Not a book like you have, but a scroll. And says the one sitting on the throne, which is God the Father, has this mysterious scroll in his hand, and this scroll is written on the front and on the back, written within and written without, and it's got seven seals on it. This mysterious scroll, what is it? Obviously, it has to do with man. Obviously, from reading the text,
it has to do with earth. I believe, according to the text, that this scroll is the title deed of the earth that we now know. You see, God created it. It belonged to Him. And God gave the dominion. He gave it to man, to Adam. And Adam had dominion over all things. But Adam sinned. And when he sinned, now the title that he once had is in forfeiture. And the devil, who is now termed as the god of this world, has taken over. And in his hand, God Almighty lifts up the title deed to the earth. Who will be the kinsman redeemer for mankind? Who is worthy to take the book? Who is able to redeem? Oh, this mysterious scroll is none other than the title deed of the earth. If you read the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, you will see where Jeremiah bought a piece of property. That piece of property was at one time in forfeiture. Written on the inside was why the land was in forfeiture. On the inside of that title deed is the sin of mankind, where we lost our dominion. And on the backside for Jeremiah were the terms of redemption, the purchase price. On the backside of the scroll that God Almighty holds is the purchase price for redemption. Someone, as a kinsman redeemer, must shed their blood that mankind might be redeemed, and that the earth itself, for creation has been groaning for thousands of years, will be redeemed. The mysterious scroll is identified then as the title deed of the earth, which has been in forfeiture. Number three, we see the meticulous search. What are the requirements for this search? Who is worthy, the angel says, to open the book? Notice the question, who is worthy? It did not say, who is willing? If the question had been asked, who is willing, I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar would have said, I am. I'm sure Alexander the Great would have said, I can. I'm sure Napoleon said, I'll take it. I'm sure Hitler and Stalin and countless others would have said, we will take that book. But that was not the question. The requirement is, who is worthy? What is the reach of this search? They looked all over heaven for anyone who is worthy. Oh, amongst that crowd, there's Abraham. There's Moses. There's Elijah. There's David. I believe, my friend, there's Elisha. And there's Paul. But all the saints of heaven being summoned and searched, not one of them in all of glory was found worthy. So they widened the search to earth. And they looked upon the earth of the rich men and the rich women, of the royalty and all the great people of the earth. But not one person on the face of God's green earth was found worthy to take the title deed out of the hand of God Almighty for redemption. So they widened the search, and the scope now envelopes hell. And all the countless sinners from eons of time past are now looked at. Wicked, heinous men, but not one, not a demon, not even the devil himself was found worthy to take the title deed out of God Almighty's hand. And I want you to know the results of this search when no one was found. John said, I wept much. Well, Preacher Darren, I'm not crying. Why is John crying? Because John said, I'm tired of what sin has done to this world. I'm tired of seeing mamas leave daddy and daddy leave mama. I'm tired of what the drugs are doing. I'm tired of what alcohol's doing. I'm tired of what sin has done to mankind. I'm tired of what sin has done to this earth. There's a curse that's pronounced on all of us. And John said, we cannot leave this in forfeiture. Oh, it looks like evil and wickedness is going to rule and reign for all of eternity. What will we do? And John being under a tremendous burden. You remember the burden you've been under? How sin came against you? How your family was distraught, upside down? You remember the tears? John was in that place. He wept much. And one of the elders said, "Weep not." Oh, hallelujah. He points him then, number four, to a marvelous Savior. He says, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book." First of all, under the heading of our marvelous Savior, I see a conquering lion. You know what the lion is? He's the king of the jungle. Hey, Jesus is that lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the king of kings. Hallelujah. Then he said he's the Root of David. He's the very one that came up out of obscurity, out of nowhere. But he's the Messiah, Jesus is, who linked right back to the throne. Hey, David was the Lord. But Jesus Christ is Lord of all lords. Amen. And we see it with him being the Root of David. When he looks for this lamb, this lion, when he says, "Behold the Lion." When he looks to see him, when he looks, he sees a lamb standing as it had been slain. So he goes from a conquering lion to a crucified lamb. First of all, he's a resurrected lamb. He's alive and he's standing firm. I want you to know that he's a redeeming lamb because he had been slain. He shed his blood. He was slaughtered. He was crucified that you and I might be saved. Not only is he a resurrected lamb and a redeeming lamb, but he's a recognized lamb. John, the revelator on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw this vision, knew exactly who the lamb was. He had walked with him for 3.5 years. He had seen the miracles. He had saw him crucified on the cross while he held the hand of Mary. And Jesus said, "Woman, behold thy son," and said to John, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, John took Mary home with him and treated her as his very own mother. John knew 3 days later, after they buried our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he saw him arisen. He saw him. The grave was empty. Hey, John said, "I know who that is. He's the conquering lion. He's the crucified lamb. He's resurrected. He's the Redeemer. He's the one I recognize today." Oh, friend, what recognition there is for Jesus. Read on with me. "Then I see him not only as a conquering lion and as a crucified lamb, but I see him as a completing Lord." You see, he's worthy. Verse 7, I like that number, don't you? "He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Woo! He's worthy. All the glory broke out in a chorus and said, "Thou art worthy. You're the one who shed your blood. You're the one who gave your life for us. And you are worthy to take the book." Now you would remember this morning that when you get in the next chapters, that the one that took the book, the Lamb, began to open the seals. And all the beginnings of tribulation begin to break out over the earth. I want to say this morning, number 5, and I'm done. I want you to see the momentous symbol. I'd like to preach on all of these in depth, but time will prohibit me from doing so. So let's just look at one of them. The momentous symbol of the lion. Now just think with me for a minute. When you think about that lion, first of all, I think about the prestige of the lion. A lion is a symbol of royalty and majesty. He is the king of beasts. He is the king of the jungle. He is a picture of strength. He is a picture of confidence. The lion has no fear. Our Savior's prestige is unmatched. Second of all, I want you to think about the power of the lion. He is the most powerful of all other beasts, pound for pound, of all other beasts on the earth. We notice it in his roar. Why does a lion roar, Preacher Darren? He roars to mark his territory. He roars to warn his enemy. Did you realize that the lion, by decibels, has enough ability in his roar to shake the ground? Did you know that the lion, in the decibels of his roar, can cause the dust even to begin to shake up and be noticed? Hey, hallelujah. When Jesus comes, it's going to shake a few things up around here. The lion is known for his power and his roar. Then what about in his scratching? You know what a lion will do, like any good kitty? He'll mark his territory by his claws. He'll stretch out with his claws. Lions have been known to stretch up the side of trees with their claws. Oh, I'm thinking right now of a tree he marked. I want to run so bad, but I got to stay calm for a minute. He marked the tree and said, I gave my life in this place. Let me tell you what else a lion will mark. He'll mark a rock. He'll take his sharp claws and he'll dig on a stone and leave those markings to say, I've been here. This is my territory. I've claimed it. I'm thinking now about a great big stone they rolled in front of the tomb one morning. And hallelujah, on the first day of the week, after 3 days, the stone was rolled away. It marked his territory. I've been here and I've conquered death. Woo! I've conquered hell and I've conquered the grave. The lion is also powerful, not just for his roar or his scratching, but he's known for his rubbing. You take your little kitty cat, you begin to rub on him, her. Next thing you know, they'll come up to you and they start rubbing on you. Am I telling it right? Anybody here got a cat? Two people. Who's got a cat? I'm not glad to say I've got one either, but I've got one, amen. And that cat, he does the strangest thing, start rubbing on you. I started studying, why do they do that? Lions do it. You know why they rub? Not because they got a scratch. No. They do it to mark their territory, to put their scent on the one areas that they've claimed. Are y'all getting this? Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he's rubbed up on me, amen. I'm glad he scratched out a way for us, amen. I'm glad he's marked his territory. And praise God. Listen, where that cat has been, that great jungle cat called the lion, if any enemy gets around it, smells it, they know that territory's marked, and they'll leave it alone. Hey, put hell on red alert. Jesus has rubbed up on me, amen. And his sin is all around me. May be praised, may be worshiped in his house today. He's powerful too for his fighting. You understand, lions have no real competition. They always win. There are two things they fight for when I study this. Two things. First of all, they fight to win a mate. Did y'all get that back there? Praise God. He fought the enemy to win his bride, amen, which is the church of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is his bride. Y'all ought to be thrilled to death. He fought for you. The second thing he fights for is to defend his family. He's not going to let the enemy come against those he loves. Let me tell you something. He'll tear them all to pieces. If right now you're experiencing being picked on by the devil, you just go tell Jesus, Lord, you've rubbed up on me. You've saved me. Your sins all over my life. Lord, I may have messed up. I may have loused up. But I pray, God, you'll defend me. Woo, you watch what he'll do, honey. He'll come roaring, scratching, fighting for your victory. That's his power. Y'all okay? I want you to notice next of all about the peace of the lion. Peace. Did you know a lion on average sleeps 19 to 21 hours a day? It's not because he's lazy. You see, Why is it that you don't sleep as long as you do? What wakes you up in the night? Trouble. Burden. I remember when I was a little kid, I lost my library book. I woke up at 2:30 in the morning with that on my mind, and I looked and searched and paced and prayed. I was all to pieces as a little kid over a library book. I could not sleep. The next morning, I found it. My mom had got it packed to go back to school with me the next day. What is it you wake up in the night about? Is it not about your health issues? Is it not about worries and struggles over your family? Is it not about how are we going to pay the bill? That's why you don't sleep well. But see, the lion sleeps 19 to 21 hours a day because he has no enemy to fear. He's not lazy. He's conquered it all. When he does go hunting, he hunts in darkness. His eyes are adapted to darkness. And when he goes out hunting, he fights or attacks in the dark. Preacher Darren, I'm not following you. Oh, I'm thinking about when I was lost. I dwelt and lived in the darkness of sin, in the depths of depravity. But when I wasn't looking for him, in the darkness of my sin, in the depths of my depravity, came in one roaring like a lion. I looked up and he snatched me from the clutches of the enemy and he rescued me and saved my soul. I'm glad, praise God, that my lion has peace. Though I'm scared, though I'm worried, my conquering lion's not afraid of one thing. What about the pride of the lion? The pride represents the family structure of the lion. You know that the pride is controlled by one dominant male. He's the leader of all. Woo! I know who's the head of the church. I know who's the conquering one. I know who's the victorious one. I know who's the dominant one. I know who is the preeminent one. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. When the cubs are born, they are born in isolation. When Jesus was born, he was born in a little old manger, in obscurity. That's the way lions are born, in a place of obscurity. But understand that when they begin to grow up, he, the male dominant lion, is the one that holds the family together. There may come challengers to the head of the pride to try to attempt to overthrow him, but he will not lose a battle. He is the all-time undefeated, undisputed champion of the world, champion of all eternity. And I say to you today, amen, he's the one who holds the family together. He's the one who brings unity. And as the male dominant lion, listen to this, he has unconditional affection for his family. Those that are of his pride, he makes a lifelong alliance with. Amen. He's made a commitment, honey, to you and me, and it is a lifelong alliance. There ain't no falling out of love. There ain't no losing happy. When he commits to you, I'm glad to report that it is forever. I think about cats. You know, they're very social. And the pride of the lion, they stick together. They depend on each other. When the pride, the family, has been challenged, and we've been in a few scuffles, and maybe we've got a few wounds or marks on us, when the pride gets back together, they lick each other's wounds. They care for one another. They love one another. Hey, glory to God, church. Are you helping one another? Are you praying one for another? Are you encouraging one another? Hey, the dominant male says, you better help each other. Hey, glory to God. I'm glad he comes and licks my wounds. I'm glad he comes and comforts me when I'm discouraged. Oh, the pride of the lion. Next of all, I'm almost done. The prevailing lion. He's courageous. He overcomes all challengers. He conquers. He's prevailed. You know what the word prevailed means? It means to carry off the victory. In Matthew 4, on the Mount of Temptation, the devil three times in the wilderness tried to defeat our Savior, and he thought Jesus would fall. But the lion prevailed, and he carried off the victory. I want you to know in the book of Matthew 26, in the Garden of Gethsemane, under the weight of our sins, being crushed so much under such a burden, so much so that his sweat became as great drops of blood. And in the garden, old Satan thought that Jesus would fail. But Jesus carried off the victory, didn't he? And he went right on the cross and gave his life. How about on the cross? Satan looked at Jesus and said, "You're a fool, dying for a bunch of old sinners." When he heard Jesus say, "It is finished," he didn't realize, but Jesus prevailed. He carried off the victory. At the grave, when they had rolled a stone in front of the tomb, in the book of Matthew chapter 28, Satan thought Jesus was finished. But on the first day of the week, he prevailed and he carried off the victory. Hey, I want to say I'm serving the conquering one. This week as I studied, as the Lord laid these verses on my heart, will you hear me? There's some issues and some things that I face, and so do you. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Why do you have a sense to conquer this issue? Just let me do it for you. I'm the conquering one. I'll take care of this." The Lord said, "You let me roar before you. You let me rub up my sin on you. You get around me enough, amen, and I'll get all over you, and the enemy will flee as you come through. You just let me go before you. You let me prevail. You let me conquer. You stay out of it. You just follow." Thank you, Lord. Last of all, I'm done. The presence of the lion. The enemy will not come around when the lion is present. That means that without the lion's presence, I'm easy prey. Is he the dominant figure in my life? Why is it yet you're weeping when he is present, when he is rubbed on you? Please notice that he's prevailed. Please notice that he's already conquered.